Thank you for listening to the Beginner Institute podcast. Please join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beginner Institute, or you can join our email list at http://beginner.com and share these recordings with your family and friends.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا وإن تولوا فإنما هم في شقاق فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We're at ayah number 135 of Surah Al-Baqarah. The preceding discussion, Allah Azza wa Jal reminded us of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam, and now he turns to those who claim to have an allegiance with him, and one of the things they say to Muslims, and one of the claims that they make, this is referring to both the Jews and the Christians at the time of the Prophet alayhi salam. وَقَالُوا كُنُوا هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. And they said, be Jews or Christians and you'll be considered guided. And tahtadu means that would mean that you are committed to guidance. But you have to be at least one of these two. What's interesting is in each of their own theologies, they believe the other is damned to hell. They actually don't like each other. But when it came into their animosity against Muslims, then they would actually unify forces and say, you know what, we're willing to work with these two. This would still be considered somewhat guidance. This third one, forget it. Out of the picture, not to be considered at all. قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And Allah tells them to say, no, rather, you should be saying, if you want to say be this or be that, then كُنُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Then be the nation of Ibrahim, the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The word milla, actually a very interesting word, is different from ummah. We talked about ummah before, but the word milla is a term that actually has in it affinity. Affinity, love and affection. So if you really show affinity and love and affection to Ibrahim alayhi salam, then you should be part of his legacy, hanifan. And this hanifan, it can go both ways. It could be a description of Ibrahim alayhi salam, or it could be hal of millah, meaning be a nation that is completely focused on one thing. And at the same time, it's kind of an example of wordplay where even Ibrahim alayhi salam, one of his adjectives is that he was hanif, that he was completely and solely focused. Hanif and Hanafiyya is actually when you're not distracted by anything else. You have one thing in front of you and you're completely devoted and dedicated to that one thing. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is called Hanif because he had no distraction except pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, submitting before Allah Azza wa Jal. Nothing else came in his way. No, the biggest things that you would think would turn you away from submitting to Allah didn't get in his way in submitting to Allah. So he's saying if you really want to be considered those who are guided, committed to guidance, then no, the call would be to be like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then the question then is, why is Allah telling the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to call on Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why not just himself? The first thing is, he says, قُلْ. You should be telling them to commit to the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But did they know about Ibrahim alayhi salam already, both of these groups? They did. They both knew about it. But now it's like they're being told, actually, you need to learn about what Ibrahim alayhi salam is really like at the hands of this man, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they're being called to something not new by calling on Ibrahim alayhi salam. They're being called to something that they've already agreed to. That they look at Ibrahim alayhi salam as a role model. It's not something new. بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he wasn't from the people who did shirk at all. There's a very important concept in the Quran. مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. مَا in Arabic, as the Arabic students here know, is actually different from لَم. or la in Arabic, or laysa in Arabic. It's a unique kind of saying no. It's actually when you say no in response to somebody. Like somebody says something wrong, and you respond by saying, you know, somebody says, kana huna, he was here. You say, no, he wasn't here. When you're correcting them, you say, ma kana huna. The correct response then is not, lam yakun huna. That's not the correct response. Actually, the correct response is, ma kana huna. He wasn't here at all. No, you're wrong. So it's when you're correcting someone and saying no, classically, that's when ma is used. So when Allah says, ma kana min al mushrikeen, this is actually important because it affirms the idea that some people thought that he had been a mushrik, that he had done some shirk. By Allah saying, ma kana min al mushrikeen, what Allah is saying is he had never, ever, ever done shirk at all. That's the other thing. Ma is aqwa, min aqwa uslub. An-nafi, you know, it's from the strongest forms of negation. So Allah is saying, first of all, you're wrong, he never did shirk, he didn't do shirk, and he didn't do shirk at all. But then the question arises, well, isn't there passages in the Qur'an too, where he looked at the sun and said, هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ, you know? And then when the sun went down, he said, okay, لَا أُحِبُّ الْأَ, you know, السَّافِلِينَ, and things like that. So there's this whole mukalama, there's muhadatha, this whole conversation, where he's going and discovering all of these different questions, and finally he comes to tawheed. There's a passage about that in the Qur'an. So how do we reconcile that and this? Well, actually, it's very simple. You know the things he said, alayhi salam, when he pointed at the sun, when he pointed at the moon, when he pointed at different things, and he made these declarations. Do you think somebody has to actually say them out loud? Or you can just think about that and move on? When somebody's actually thinking about the, you know, this must be my sun because it's bright, and it's so huge, and it's so brilliant. Oh wait, it went down. Does he have to wait till sunrise, sundown to say, oh, okay, I just realized it goes down? Or did he already know it's going to go down? He did already, right? Everything, every comment he made about the sun and the moon is not like he discovered that day that it goes down. The reason I'm bringing this to your attention is when we talk about Ibrahim alayhi salam, we're talking about one of the most intelligent people in history, alayhi salam. He's a very, very intelligent human being. I mean, the way he's very sharp with his even responses. Even if you look at his conversation that's coming in this surah, in Baqarah, with Namrud. And when he said, أَنَا الَّذِي أُحْيِي وَأُمِيت. I'm the one who gives life and death. Right? أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيت. And Ibrahim alayhi salam started by saying, رَبِّي الَّذِي أُحْيِي وَيُمِيت. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيت. He said, no, me, I do that. So he responded immediately, by the way, with the sun. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا. Immediate response. He didn't have to think about it. Very sharp. But this is not, it doesn't seem like this is very intelligent speech. Bear with me. I'll make my point in a second. That you would look at the sun and say, that's pretty good. I think I'll worship that. And by the evening you say, oh, I just realized it goes down. What he was doing in that passage, he was illustrating the stupidity of those who actually believe that. This is a means of demonstration. And this is something you find in his usloob. He demonstrates the stupidity of shirk all the time. This is part of the style of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Did he do this somewhere else also? Did he do something similar before too? Or after this also? He breaks all the idols, leaves the axe, and what does he say when they come after him and say, Ya Ibrahim, anta fa'alta hada? You did this? What does he say? Well, ask the big guy over there. I mean, you worship him, so ask him. Right? Because... So this is a means of him making them realize how ridiculous their beliefs are. And he does that even with his, you know, with his apparent, you know, presentation of a journey to Tawheed. So he's literally holding some people who have fallen into shirk, they haven't ever thought about it, by the finger and showing them how ridiculous it is. He himself never committed shirk. Even when he says, Hada Rabbi, this is a really interesting thing, that in Arabic, actually, the shams is considered feminine. It's considered feminine. But he says, Hada Rabbi, Hada Akbar. He didn't use Hadihi, he used Hada. And this is actually even to illustrate that he wasn't really talking about the sun. He wasn't really saying that either. Because that's not really how you say that in Arabic. That's not how you say it in Arabic. So it's a subtle clues in the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Anyhow, Allah says, مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was never ever one to do shirk at all. قُولُوا. You should all say, and this is also very beautiful and very powerful. You know, this an ayah almost exactly like this one occurs in Surah Ali Imran, the ayah we're about to read. Almost exactly like this one comes up in Ali Imran. But that ayah begins with the word قُل. And I think many of you know the word قُل. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ قُلْ. This ayah begins with قولوا. And in translation, you'll find both of them say, say, say. But what's the difference between قُل and قُولُ? قُل means say for one person. قُولُ means all of you say. All of you say. Now the thing is, in Ali Imran, Allah told His Messenger to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Al-Baqarah, Allah is telling all of the ummah to say. قُولُ يَعْنِي يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُولُ. Those of you who have iman, you should all say. You should all say. Another way this has been interpreted is, this is an invitation to those who haven't believed yet. He's commanding them, why don't you just say this? قُولُ. But the more dominant opinion is that تَقُولُ refers to the believers who are coming into contact with this criticism from the disbelievers, from al-Yahud wa al-Nasara. They're commanded, قُولُ. Now, when they're commanded to say that, قُولُ, that we say, all of you, the question is, why only the Messenger was told to say in Ali Imran? And why are we as an ummah being told to say in Baqarah? If you study Baqarah, you've already listened to me talk about a lot of Baqarah already. Which nation keeps getting talked about? The Jews or the Christians? The Jews, Bani Israel, keep getting talked about. If when we study Ali Imran, we're going to find something else. We're going to find a huge conversation dedicated to the Christians. So here there's a, you know, and Fatiha began, or ended, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ الضَّالِينَ الْمَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ يُذْكَرْ فِي الْبَقَرَةِ. They're mentioned in Baqarah. الضَّالُونَ يُذْكَرُوا ذُكِرُوا فِي الْعِمْرَانِ. So there's this cohesion between the two, right? And what Fatiha says. Anyhow, the Jews, as we've learned, they weren't very good to their prophets. What did they do with their prophets that we learned? يقتلون الأنبياء بغير حق, right? Even Musa alayhi salam, even though the ayah is not in this surah, لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي, why are you causing me pain? I mean the messenger that they attribute their survival to. This is the man who helped them, by Allah's permission, get them rescued from Fir'aun. Even he has to complain, why are you causing me pain? I can understand other prophets you gave a hard time. Even Musa alayhi salam you didn't spare, right? So they weren't very good to their prophets. As opposed to that, the Christians, they don't really hold on to the legacy of a lot of prophets. Which prophet are they tied down with? So there are two extremes. On the one extreme, people who didn't care about the prophets at all. And on the other, they cared about their prophets so much that they ended up doing shirk. There's two extremes. And so then you have to ask the question, if the Christians are so obsessed with their prophet, which actually they turned him into an entity of worship, then when you have to take the focus beyond the Prophet to another messenger, then that messenger has to speak to them. قُلْ أَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. In Surah Ali Imran, قُلُّكْ occurs. To the Christians, they need to lose their focus from Isa alayhi salam exclusively and lose that shirk and also pay attention to other messengers. قُلْ. But Bani Israel, they were not obsessed with messengers. Even the messengers that came to them, they weren't obsessed with. They weren't all that crazy about. They even killed those. So why should we expect they're going to be any nicer to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? But then the question is, what were they obsessed with? If they weren't obsessed with their prophets like the Christians are, what is it that was at their top, like sense of identity, sense of allegiance? For the Christians, their allegiance was to a messenger, Isa alayhi salam. For the Jews, the allegiance has been always to what? Their nation. Their sense of identity. We're Bani Israel, we're the chosen nation. We are the people about whom Allah says, أَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. I'm giving you preference over all nations. We're the chosen people. So they have this sense of pride, not associated with the Prophet, but associated with nation. And so to the nation, Allah tells us to speak to them, not as an individual, but as a nation. The people who are obsessed with their sense of nation, we're told to ask them or address them as a nation ourselves. No. Your nation has been fired. A new ummah has been put in your place. Qulu. These are hints that their status is about to be removed. That's coming later on in this surah. But even now, in Qulu, a hint is being dropped. All of you should now talk to them and say this. Then another interesting comparison that completes this conversation briefly is that in that ayah Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُلُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ or قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ in Ali Imran. When Allah is talking to the Christians, He tells His Messenger to say, tell them, we believe in Allah, we've come to believe in Allah, وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا and what was sent down onto us, عَلَيْنَا, upon us. Here He says, قُلُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا. إِلَيْنَا, what does إِلَيْنَا get translated as? To us. So in Ali Imran, he says, what was sent upon us, And in Al-Baqarah, he says what was sent to us. There's a difference. And the difference, though there's many aspects to this difference, I'll only highlight one of them for now. And that is that the word ala, in Arabic expression, it communicates obligation. Like for example, you could say alayka, alayka salat. In Arabic you could say alayka salat. What does that mean, alayka salat? You have to pray. Alayya an akuna fil masjid. I have to be at the masjid. Right? Ala in Arabic communicates obligation. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا, one of the meanings of it is, what was sent down as an obligation, a responsibility upon us. So when inzal comes with ala, it highlights the responsibility, what you have to do. Who was this said to? The Christians. Now the question is, why was it said to them? Why highlight the responsibility? If you know anything about Christian doctrine, you'll know one thing. Across their many denominations, one of the most common denominators in their different variations in sects and theological opinions, is one thing. That there were two problems they had before Jesus came. The two problems they had was, they couldn't, mankind was born into sin, and so we're doomed to go to hell. That's their belief. We don't believe that, they do though. Mankind was born into sin, and they're doomed to go into hell. And the only way they can pay for those sins is by obeying God's law. That's before Jesus came. Now that Jesus came, His blood washed away two problems. What two problems? One, they don't longer have to pay for their sins because the blood of Jesus washed their sins. Two, they don't have to obey the law of God because the blood of Jesus purified them, and they no longer need the law of God to purify them. Okay, they no longer need the law of God. So the Sabbath and the what you can and cannot eat and all this stuff, all of that's gone because Jesus already paid for my sins. That law, the purpose of it was tazkiyah, to cleanse me. But now that I believe in Jesus, I'm already cleansed. I don't need any more cleansing. So that law is basically, according to them, mansukh. It doesn't count for them. Bottom line, they are no longer willing to take responsibility. They no longer say, I have to do this. I've had interesting conversations with ministers on this issue before. Like they'll go in their church and they say, you have to, you know, there are some even, you know, like popular ministers nowadays who talk to their congregations about don't drink alcohol, don't eat pork. They talk about that in church. And you have to ask, why are you asking people not to eat pork? I mean, you guys, I mean, I agree with you, don't eat pork, but why? You guys, your sins are paid for, right? So let them eat, let them party. And then why are you telling people not to sin and not to do, why are you telling your youth not to do drugs and not to fornicate? Why are you telling your youth to do any of these things? Because if they're doing these things, they're sinning. But that's okay, because their sins are what? They're paid for. It's all good. Why you even bother? There's this inherent contradiction in what they've claimed about Isa alayhi salam, and then what they believe. And an interesting conversation. I don't want you to have this conversation with your coworkers, by the way. This isn't healthy. If you have people of knowledge and they're coming after us, then I'll sit down with them and I'd like to put them in their place. But you don't go around to your Christian coworkers and say, hey, buddy, Jesus, what's going on? What's the deal? You don't do that. It's not a healthy approach. You're not and your job's at risk anyway already, so that'll just be, you know, أقرب من الاستغناء, right? So don't do that. But understand, when they come out swinging at the Muslims, then we've got people that live in glass houses. I mean, seriously. What are you going to talk to us about? Let's sit down and talk about your theology. مَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا, they were, the obligation to live by the law of Allah was highlighted to them. On the other hand, Bani Israel, one of the things they took pride in, they didn't like the messengers very much, as we learned. But they loved one thing. If revelation comes, it comes to who? If it comes, it comes to us. It comes to ilayna. Now look, the word ila is being used when talking to Bani Israel. You understand? Ila, while ala highlights responsibility, ila highlights privilege. It doesn't come ila ay akhar, ilayna. So Allah says to them, commands us to tell them, قُلُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. Tell them, we've come to believe in Allah. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا. And what has been revealed to us? What's that a reference to? Al-Quran. What has been revealed to us? This is very important for us to understand how to engage in communication with the Jews and the Christians. We don't start with, we believe in the Bible too. We start with what first? Ma unzila ilayna, was sent to us. We're not going to undermine its value. We're not going to say, hide that and we'll talk about that later. No. We've come to believe in Allah. And as a result, everything Allah said, وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا immediately, وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, then you go to the common ground. Well, by the way, we believe in the Qur'an, but you should too, because it starts from the common ground of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahima, wa Ismaila, wa Ishaqa, wa Yaquba, wa al-Asbat. Asbat, the future lineages, the coming generations. وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى, and what was given to Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. Now the Jews held on to Musa, the Christians held on to Isa. Jews said that Isa alayhi salam is not a messenger. Christians said Musa alayhi salam's law is no longer necessary. His sharia is gone. So each of them did something, some kind of dhulm to the other messenger. And we come along and say we believe in Musa and with Isa, in Isa alayhi salam. وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Then Allah separated, وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, and whatever had been given to the prophets from their masters. We believe in all of the prophets and everything that they were given in its original form. We believe in all of it. But you know, Musa and Isa were bunched together. وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا. There's ma and ma. And in between those two ma's, there is Musa and Isa. It's like a linguistic parenthesis. The first prophet mentioned like this is Musa, and the last one mentioned is Isa. Why? Because this is the beginning of what came exclusively to Bani Israel, Musa. What is the final thing that came exclusively, final messenger that came exclusively to Bani Israel? Isa alayhi salam. So when Allah bunches together Musa and Isa, He's letting Bani Israel know, look, the last messenger I sent you was Isa. Look what you did with him. Why should you deserve any other messengers? Why should you get any more? What did you do with the last one I sent you? How did that work out for you? مَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Lots of important concepts in this ayah. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. We don't make a distinction between any one of them. This has to be understood. The Quran tells us to declare that we make no distinction between any of the prophets. And some claimed, and well, how can you say that when we say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is the greatest of the prophets, and he led all of the prophets in prayer, Isra and Mi'raj, and all this other, you know, these fada'il of the messengers. We have to understand the difference between tafriq and tafdeel. This is the last thing I'll share with you today. Tafriq, and what's the other word? Tafdeel. There's two important words in the Quran. Tafriq means to make a distinction and to consider some of them prophets and others I don't consider prophets. So I'm willing to accept Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, but I'm not willing to accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That would be tafriq. I'm willing to accept Musa, but I'm not willing to accept Isa alaihi wasallam. This would be a kind of tafriq. The Muslim says we don't make a tafriq. Tafriq meaning we consider every one of them a messenger. Every one of them is a prophet. Every one of them we believe in as someone who received revelation. We don't pick and choose and say, well, this one was and this one wasn't. This one was just a man, no revelation. No. We believe in all of them as prophets. We don't make that exception. Okay. Then what's tafdeel? Allah tells us, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا مِنَ التَّفْضِيلِ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. That's coming in the surah too. Those are the messengers we gave some preference over others. We gave some special gifts more than others. We gave them ranks above ranks. There is a ranking as far as Allah is concerned among the messengers. Now Allah didn't tell us everything about that ranking. We don't know the number scheme for all of the prophets عليهم الصلاة والسلام, but Allah lets us know as a على سبيل المثال, يعني, in the way of giving an example, what does Allah say? You know, in that same ayah, وَتِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ. For instance, among them were those who spoke to Allah. That's a pretty big honor to have. That's a really... And those who didn't get to speak to Allah directly, by the way, who spoke to Allah, who's this referring to? Musa alayhi salam. So in comparison to other prophets who are still prophets, this is a pretty special honor. So it's, you know, وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتِ, and for others we elevated them with some other degrees. So there is special favor here, a different kind of special favor there, a different kind of special favor there. There is a ranking among the prophets when it comes to special favors. And the most special of all favors is what? The revelation of the Quran. And that gift is for Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then above and beyond that is when he's inda sidratil muntaha. When he goes in and he converses with Allah, but not on this earth, but when Allah Azza wa Jalla has him travel, al-mi'raj. Right? So this is a special honor given to the Messenger. And then on top of that, a special honor given to the Messenger والسلام, is, you know, Allah calls it Maqam al-Mahmuda. A place Allah has given him on Judgment Day, the praised station. You know, the ability to make shafa'ah. Other things that are the special rankings that belong to the Prophet والسلام. Anyhow, tilka rusulu faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. So we have to understand the difference between tafriq once again and tafdeel. And this ayah is about tafriq, not about tafdeel. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. And we are entirely Muslim to him. Now these words are awesome, because now in this context, the Muslims are saying these words to the Christians and the Jews who said, if you become Christians and Jews, you will be considered guided. And now we're saying, no, we're Muslims only to him. We're in submission only to Allah. But if you remember these ayat that we've been talking about, these exact words were said by somebody else. قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ أَبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ You know, وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ Bani Israel, the sons of Israel, the original sons of Yaqub, said these words. نَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And now a few ayat later, we, the Muslim Ummah, are saying to the same people, by the way, we're closer to your own prophets than you are. نَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ So they take ownership of Ibrahim alayhi salam and these prophets, and we say, no, نَحْنُ أَحَقْ. You know, we deserve them more. We're نَحْنُ أَقْرَبْ. We're closer to them than you are. We say the same words they did. They said, نَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and Allah has commanded us to declare those same words again. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Finally, فَإِنْ أَمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أَمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. Then Allah tells us, and if they, meaning the people of the book, who in the beginning of this discussion said, you should be guided like us, become Jews or Christians. Allah says about them, if they come to Iman, in the same way that you've come to Iman, if they come to faith, in the same, bimithli, in the way that you have come to faith. Not the other way around. They want you to believe like they believe, and Allah is saying to us, no, if they come to believe like you've come to believe, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Then they've come to commit, they're committed to guidance. You remember what they said? They said, قَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا وَنَصَارًا تَهْتَدُوا. They said, be Jews and Christians, you'll be guided. Allah says in response, no, you should know something. If they believe like you, then they're committed to guidance. He didn't even tell us to respond, he just told us, by the way, it's the other way around. Allah responded to them in the ayah, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا And if they were to turn back, if they turn their backs, فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ Then they're incomplete, and they're in deep friction. They're in a deep, you know, chasm. Shiqaq is like a division. They're in a deep division. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ Beautiful words. The ayah began with the ummah, but it came back to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to appreciate the benefits of that before I conclude. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ Then Allah will be enough for ka. Ka means how many? You, all of you, or one you? One you. فَسَيَكْفِيكُمُوهُمْ Kum is plural. Ka is one. So Allah is talking to His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, again. The ayah began, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتَ أَمْ آمَنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ جَمْعًا He was talking to the whole ummah. He said, if they believe like all of you have believed, then they're guided. But if they turn away, that they are in a chasm, they're in division, and Allah will be enough for you alone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why Allah will be enough for you alone? فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمْ Allah. Against them, whom, Allah will be enough for you. In other words, whether this ummah follows you or not is yet to be seen. In the future, soon, or in the future, Allah will be with you. The Muslims are still going to have to prove themselves. Who's the only one among them who's already proven himself? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Muslims are being told, by the way, you have no guaranteed seat. The Muslims are, even the Sahaba are being told, you better hold on tight. Because it's not like this is what the previous nation did. They thought when Allah is talking to you collectively, that all of you are guaranteed in the future too. سَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ No, you better hold on and make sure you're aligned with this Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because if not, then Allah is enough for you, O Messenger, against them, against Bani Israel, and against the Nasara who are saying these things. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ And Allah is all hearing, all knowing. He hears everything that they say in front of you. قَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا He hears everything they say in front of you. He also hears the things they say behind your back. And how they say, man, he is a messenger, what are we going to do now? You know, he hears that too. He knows everything that's going on. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ عَلِيمٌ. So we'll conclude with this ayah. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ وَنَفَعْنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ بِالْآيَاتِ وَذِكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.